Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for being with us today on this Monday. As you can tell, I've got a little bit of voice strain that has come from doing so much speaking and so much media. Good things, actually, just trying to serve the Lord and expand the message of the kingdom. So the good news is today, though, you've got a lot more of Derek Prince speaking than you do Stephen Mansfield. We are beginning a wonderful series today on faith, how essential faith is. And, you know, you just can't read the Bible without seeing how important faith is, how critical it is to who we are, how it's what pleases God, and how, frankly, the opposite of faith is a real danger zone for us as believers. I'm very, very excited about this teaching. It's going to last an entire week, and so you need to just plan to be with us every day. Now get your Bible, get a notebook, and let's dive into this critical subject of faith with Derek Prince.
This week I'm going to share with you about the one thing that is essential in relating to God. The one thing without which it is impossible to lead a life that is pleasing to God. I wonder how many of you can guess what I have in mind. What is that one thing? It is faith. Oh, how much is contained in that one short word of five letters, faith. I'm persuaded in my own life I've only just touched the fringe of the limitless ocean, which is the potential of faith. Each time I teach about faith, I feel a new thrill of excitement, and I always seem to learn something new about faith myself while I'm teaching others. The first thing I want to say today is that faith is essential. There is no substitute for faith. Nothing else will do for us what faith will do. The first scripture I'm going to turn to is in that great faith chapter of the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6, this is what it says. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. That's the basic condition for approaching God. The only condition upon which we can or dare approach God, because God has ruled out every other condition, every other basis of approach. God says, if we're to come to Him, we must believe. That's a divine must. The Lord permits and accepts no alternatives. We must believe. We must believe two things. First of all, that God exists. I'm persuaded that the majority of people really believe that, even some people who call themselves agnostics or atheists. I believe there are very few people in the world who don't really somehow or other believe that God exists. But that by itself is not enough. Many people who believe that God exists do not meet all the requirements for coming to God in faith. For we must not only believe that God exists, we must believe that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. We've got to come to God believing that if we do what He requires, if we seek Him earnestly, with our whole heart, without raising any barriers of obstinacy or prejudice or unbelief, if we seek Him that way, He will reward us. You see, the ultimate object of faith is God Himself, His goodness, and above all, His faithfulness. Faith, in the Bible sense of the word, is not directed primarily to a thing, but to a person. And that person is God. We must believe in God's faithfulness, His goodness, His reliability, His love, His mercy. And that's why unbelief is a sin. Many people don't understand that unbelief is a sin, but it's a sin because it denies the goodness of God. It impugns God's character. It suggests that God is not reliable, that he's not good, that he's not faithful, that we cannot depend on him. And that is a sin. So faith goes right to the very heart of God himself. It reaches out beyond theories and creeds and dogmas. It touches God. God himself. God as a person. God as a father. God as someone whom we can depend upon. However, the word that's translated faith in our New Testament, the Greek word is pistis, that word does not mean only faith, it means also faithfulness. As a matter of fact, that's really its primary meaning in secular usage outside the New Testament. The primary meaning of the word is faithfulness. So, believing in God is not merely something intellectual. It is being faithful to God. God is faithful. We have to believe in his faithfulness. But likewise, we have to prove ourselves faithful. In other words, what I'm trying to explain to you, and it's something that people find hard to grasp because of centuries of church tradition and teaching, we tend to think of faith as being in a creed, in a doctrine, in a form of theology. But it isn't. It's a relationship to God, and it's a relationship in which we have to meet conditions that go beyond our intellect. It's not just what we think or what we believe with our minds, but it's being faithful to God. That kind of faithfulness springs out of commitment. In other words, believing in God is not just having an intellectual idea about God or knowing what the Bible says, or being able to quote scripture, but believing in God is being committed to God. It's being loyal to God. It's taking your stand with God. It's refusing to side with the forces of evil. It's rejecting compromise where God's integrity and God's truth is at stake. So it's never just a question of intellectually accepting doctrine, but it's a question of committing ourselves to God. And this commitment, which is the basis of faith, establishes a direct, ongoing, personal relationship with God. That's what I want to emphasize in this initial talk on faith. Don't think in terms of just some dogma, some creed, some intellectual acceptance of some truth. Whether it's true or not, that's not sufficient. You have to be committed. You have to give yourself in that relationship to God, and in return, God gives himself back to you. It's a relationship. It's not a doctrine. You see, it's a fact of experience and observation that many people can give assent intellectually to all the right doctrines, but not have the right relationships, either with God or with other people. Let's not think just in terms of what we believe. It goes beyond that. It's in whom we believe. It's how we're related to God, and also how we're related to our fellow believers. Think in terms of the word believing as loyal, loyal to God, loyal to God's people. That really is the basic meaning. Now, this kind of relationship that this establishes with God is summed up in one beautiful and familiar verse of the Old Testament in the book of Psalms, perhaps the most familiar verse in the book of Psalms. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what men and women are craving in our contemporary society, its security. And they're so often looking for it in the wrong place. True security stems out of that personal relationship with God. The Lord is my shepherd. It's faith in God, faith in his faithfulness. That's the basis of our approach to God, our relationship with him. It's faith, commitment, loyalty, faith in his faithfulness.
I don't know about you, but the truth from the Greek New Testament that the word faith does not just mean faith, it also means faithfulness, really helps me know that true faith is being faithful to God. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
You can't build securely on a faulty foundation. It's true for buildings, and it's true for your life. In his booklet, Founded on the Rock, Derek Prince not only explains why a proper spiritual foundation is vital, but also how to put one in place in your life. As you read, you'll discover the vital role of pure motives and the impact they have on your quality of life. And you'll learn the surprising ways Christ manifests himself to us as we obey his word. To get your own copy of Derek's revealing booklet, Founded on the Rock, absolutely free, call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Build your life on a firm foundation. Request your free copy of Founded on the Rock when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Delighted that you're with me. Thank you for putting up with my scratchy voice that has come from a little bit of overspeaking. But I'm thrilled with the series that Derek Prince is teaching us on faith. We've just had a marvelous introduction, and now let's dive in as Derek continues to deepen our understanding of what faith is.
I'm going to go further and explain how faith relates us to the invisible, eternal world. The first scripture I'll look at today is from that same 11th chapter of Hebrews, the great faith chapter. It's the first verse. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Where it says assurance of things hoped for, I prefer to say substance or underlying reality of things hoped for. We're going to go into that a little later on this week when I speak about the difference between faith and hope. But for the present, I want to emphasize the second part of that first verse of Hebrews 11. That is, that faith is a conviction of things not seen. The particular aspect of that truth that I want to emphasize right now is that faith relates us to things not seen, to the invisible, the eternal, the world that we do not apprehend by our senses. Paul brings this truth out in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, a very simple but important statement. He says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Notice that the two are in opposition to the one to the other. By faith, not by sight. The world has got it wrong. The world says seeing is believing. But the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, where you see, you don't need to believe. Where you need to believe is where you don't see. And Paul says we don't rely on what we see for our relationship with God and our walk with God, but we rely on what we apprehend by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Where Paul says sight, I believe it would be legitimate to interpret it not by our senses. It's not just the sense of sight, but all five senses that are excluded. Sense perception does not do the work of faith. Our senses relate us to the visible, material, time-space world. We're all familiar with that world through our senses. But faith relates us to a different world, to the invisible and eternal world. Hebrews 11:3, just two verses further on, the writer says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." Notice again the emphasis on not visible. Faith is always related to that which is not visible. In this particular verse, the writer tells us that the invisible reality behind the entire universe is God's Word. Now, we don't apprehend that by our senses. We apprehend it by faith. Man has always had a restless desire to know what the ultimate reality behind the universe is, the first cause, and so on. As a professional philosopher, I was occupied with those questions for many years before I came to know the Lord Jesus in a personal way and discovered that the most important truths are not to be found in philosophy, but in Scripture. But I was often occupied with this question, what's the first cause? What's behind everything? How did everything begin? As a believer, through the revelation of Scripture, I've come to understand that the first cause behind everything, that which brought everything into being, was the Word of God. When God spoke His Word, then creation took place. The whole material universe is the product of God's Word. This is stated by the psalmist in Psalm 33, verse 6. By the Word of the Lord, the heavens were made. In other words, the creative, effective power that brought the universe into being and sustains it in being is the Word of God. And faith relates us to God and to His Word, to the invisible. It's very interesting to compare these statements of Scripture with some of the conclusions of modern physics. I'm not a physicist, but I understand that if I were to ask a physicist to explain in his language the nature of the Bible that I hold when I preach, he would answer me in terms of things like atoms, protons, neutrons, electrons, things which no one has ever seen with their natural eye and no one ever expects to see. And if I were to press him further, he'd probably give his explanation in terms of some kind of mathematical equation. How close that conclusion of physics is to the statement of Scripture that the worlds, the universe, was framed, fitted together, and maintained in being by the Word of God. The essence of what I'm saying to you today is this, that faith relates us to the invisible, to things which cannot be apprehended by our senses. So we always have, in the life of faith, this potential conflict between the world that our senses relate us to and the world that our faith relates us to. The world that the senses relate us to is physical, material, it's changeable, it's impermanent. But the world that faith relates us to is eternal, invisible, and permanent. It doesn't change. Primarily, it relates us to God. Secondly, to the Word of God.
Why is faith so important? Because it's the mechanism by which we understand, by which we perceive what's happening in the spiritual world that truly controls our lives. More to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
You can't build securely on a faulty foundation. It's true for buildings, and it's true for your life. In his booklet, Founded on the Rock, Derek Prince not only explains why a proper spiritual foundation is vital, but also how to put one in place in your life. As you read, you'll discover the vital role of pure motives and the impact they have on your quality of life. And you'll learn the surprising ways Christ manifests himself to us as we obey his word. To get your own copy of Derek's revealing booklet, Founded on the Rock, absolutely free, call us toll free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Build your life on a firm foundation. Request your free copy of Founded on the Rock when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and I'm delighted that you're joining us today to hear Derek Prince teach us about faith. Let's listen.
There's a beautiful example of this further on in this same 11th chapter of Hebrews, in verse 27. As one of the great heroes of faith, the writer picks Moses, and he says various things about Moses' life and how it was built on faith. And in verse 27, it says of Moses, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, that's the wrath of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. There's a deliberate paradox there. Moses saw the one who is unseen. That's, of course, God himself. Faith relates us to the unseen, to the invisible. And that was why Moses was able to endure persecution, disappointment, frustration, loneliness, apparent failure. How was he able to hold out? Because he watched, he looked at, he kept his eye on the invisible, not the natural eye, but the eye of faith. His relationship to the invisible enabled him to hold out when there was no source of encouragement in his natural surroundings. This is in line with what Paul says, too, in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. That's like Moses, who endured. He didn't lose heart. Why do we not lose heart? Paul goes on to say, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. You see, there's two persons in our life. There's the outer man that contacts the physical world with his physical senses. There's the inner man that contacts the invisible, eternal world through faith. So we have always these two persons, the inner man, the outer man. Then Paul goes on to say, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And Paul could only say momentary light affliction because, like Moses, he had his eyes on the unseen. If he'd only been looking at the things around him, I think he would have considered his affliction a lot more than light when you consider all that he had to go through. But he says, our affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Notice again this paradox, seeing the unseen, looking at that which cannot be seen. How do we do that? Not with our senses, but with faith. Not with our outer man, but with our inner man. Our inner man, the real, true, eternal person inside us as believers, that inner man apprehends God and the things of God and the truths of God by faith. It's related to a world that's permanent, real, unchanging, but invisible. And this enables us to endure, to hold out when there's nothing in our circumstances or situations in this world that would encourage us. The writer of Hebrews says, Moses endured. Paul says, we do not lose heart. Why? Because we have that contact with the unseen, eternal world through our faith. As I close today, I'd just like to ask you, how about you? Do you have that contact with God? Remember, you can. It comes from commitment. Just complete commitment to God will bring you into that relationship with Him.
You know, you may be listening to this series, and there are some things in it that you just can't quite get your mind around. You just can't quite understand. I want you to not say to yourself, well, I'm just too stupid to understand it. I want you to realize that much of this comes by revelation. You need to do two or three things. Pray as you approach the material, listen to it over and again, and then meditate on it and ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight. That's what will give you the insight that you need to live out this truth. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow on Tuesday as the legacy continues.
To request your own copy of Derek's booklet, Founded on the Rock, give us a call toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The phone call and the booklet are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your free copy of Derek's booklet, Founded on the Rock, securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.